All right, good afternoon. I'm Blazer from Carnegie Mellon University, and indeed, I'll be telling you about password meters. So we look at password meters as any kind of visual feedback of password strength given during the creation time of the password. So for instance, if I go to PayPal and start making an account, they'll ask me to make a password. And then as I start making a password, it comes up, gives me some little orange indicator, and it's telling me, your password's just fair. And the idea of these password meters is to encourage users to create stronger passwords. And password meters are widely used. Sites from Google to WordPress to Usenix's own site have password meters for when you're making an account. So the open question here then is, as a community, we don't really know what, if anything, these password meters do. Furthermore, password meters come in all different shapes and sizes. So these are just a couple screen caps from Alexa's top 100 global websites. You can see there's really wide variety of visual appearances of password meters. So is one of these better than the others? Are some just outright not very good? So we really wanted to look into this. In particular, our two main research questions were, first, how do password meters affect the composition, guessability, creation process, and memorability of passwords, in addition to user sentiment? And second, what elements of meter design are important? So we present the first large-scale experiment on how the visual and scoring aspects of meters affect password properties. To this end, we conducted a 2,931 participant online study with a between subjects design. So each participant was assigned to one of 15 conditions specifying what they would see. So in one condition, participants saw no meter whatsoever when they created their password. And in the other 14 conditions, they saw one of these 14 different meters we created, which I'll show you in a few moments. And the study took place in two parts, two or more days apart. And participants were compensated 55 cents and 70 cents, respectively, for these two parts. So in part one, we asked participants to create a password and then to answer a survey about its creation. And the scenario we gave them for why they're creating a password is to imagine that their main email provider is requiring them to change their password. And this particular scenario has worked well for our group in our previous work. And the only requirement we gave them about this password, that told them or enforced, was that the password had to have 8 or more characters. That's it. And then 48 hours after part one, participants received an email to return for the second part of the study, in which they would re-enter the password and then answer a survey about how they remembered the password, or as the case may be, didn't remember the password. And so now I'd like to go into our 15 different conditions. And the easiest way to think about our 15 different conditions is actually in four main groups. First, our control conditions, and I'll go through all of these in detail in a moment. Then we had conditions with visual differences, some with scoring differences, and some with both visual and scoring differences. So let me start with our two control conditions, which are the conditions to which we compared all of our others. Our first control was having no meter, that is, no feedback on password strength. And our second control condition was having a baseline meter, that is, a standard password meter. And we created the standard password meter, this baseline, based on meters used in the wild on Alexa's top 100 global websites. And I'll show you exactly how this meter looks and works in a few moments. And we designed this meter so that a password consisting of 8 lowercase letters, that is, essentially minimally meeting our stated requirements, would only fill 1/3 of the meter. However, higher scores were possible in two main ways. First, having a longer password. So in many of our conditions, having a password with 16 characters, no further restrictions, would fill the password meter. Secondly, you could have a password with more different character classes. So for instance, in many of our conditions, an 8-character password with an uppercase letter, lowercase letter, digit, and symbol would also fill the meter. So here's how our baseline password meter looked. This is the page on which participants created their password. It's based on Windows Live's account creation page. So they start typing in the password, and you'll notice there's a visual bar. And this bar is non-segmented. That is, the bar can be filled to any degree. And basically, after every key press, there could be a big change or a small change in the bar. You also notice above the bar we have a word corresponding to how much of the bar is filled. And this word goes from bad to poor to fair to good and then to excellent. And next to the word, we have a suggestion for making the password stronger. For instance, consider adding an uppercase letter or making your password longer. Right? So type in a little bit more. Then we perform a dictionary check against OpenWall's mangled word list, which is a cracking dictionary. And if it's in this cracking dictionary, well, we tell them, your password is in our dictionary of common passwords. And so they can type and type. And you'll notice, probably by now, the meter's been changing color. It gradually changes from red to orange to yellow and eventually to green. And type, and you know, at some point they'll eventually fill up the meter and receive the word excellent. Right. So I just showed you a number of different features, and we of course wanted to know, well, what are each of these features contributing? And so all of our other conditions were based and varied from our baseline meter. So in particular, we had 7 different conditions that varied from the baseline meter only in visual appearance, and the scoring was the same as in the baseline meter. We had 4 conditions in which we kept the visual appearance the same, but varied the scoring from our baseline meter, and then 2 conditions in which both visual and scoring elements were different than in the baseline. And so let me go through these all in turn. With our visual differences, I'll keep our baseline meter up top, just for reference, and then I'll show our other visual conditions below it. Just as a reminder, no participants saw it like this. And I'm also showing what I'm typing in plain text, and again, that's not how participants saw it in the study. Right, and so what are the things we wanted to look for with visual differences? Well, does it make a difference whether the meter's continuous or only has a few distinct segments? So we had one with 3 distinct segments that were either filled or unfilled. Well, does having the color change make a difference? So we had a meter that was always green rather than changing from red to green. Well, does the size make a difference? So we had a tiny meter, I guess like the gymnast size meter, and a huge meter, like the sumo wrestler size meter. Like that's a really big meter. We said, well, the suggestions we're giving them, do they make a difference? So in one condition, we took the suggestions away. And finally, well, does the bar make a difference? So we had a condition where we took the bar away and had a text-only meter. Right. And so you'll notice as we type in, they're all pretty much going in lockstep, and they all fill up at the same time. So these were our conditions with visual differences, with one exception. There's one more I've left out. We said, well, a lot of these meters we see have bars, and that's what we observed in the wild. But does having a bar actually matter? Could we have some different visual metaphor? And so we wanted to come up with something a little ridiculous, and our group decided, well, what's more ridiculous than a dancing bunny? So we have the dancing bunny meter. The stronger your password, the faster Bugs Bunny dances. And so we start typing, you know, starting to pick up speed. Oh, and then as you keep going, he becomes kind of like the Usain Bolt of dancing bunnies. He's just kind of going crazy. Right, so that's our bunny meter. So then our next category, those with scoring differences. And again, the baseline meter I'll keep up top here for reference. And there's 2 main kinds of ideas we wanted to check. First, what if we just showed them always a lower score than in the baseline? So we had 2 conditions titled half score, in which we always showed half the score as in the baseline meter, and then 1/3 score, in which, as you might guess, we always showed 1/3 the score as in the baseline meter. Next, we wanted to test, well, what if we just always push a participant towards a particular policy? Either, in the first case, having always longer passwords, pushing them towards 16 characters or more, or in the second case, pushing them towards more complex passwords with multiple character classes. And so you'll notice as we start typing in, at this point, the baseline meter is already reading excellent, half score meter is saying poor, the 1/3 score meter is saying bad. So we keep going. Roughly about 30 character long passwords would fill the half score meter, and to fill the 1/3 score meter, you'd need about a 40 character password. Right. All right, and so then our final group of conditions were those that differed both visually and in scoring elements from our baseline meter. And so particularly visually, they actually lacked a visual component. We took away the bar and had text-only conditions. First case, standard text, and the second case, boldface text. We also changed the scoring. We used the same scoring as in the half score meter. So we always showed half the score as in the baseline. So for instance, the text-only meters are right now are saying bad, whereas the baseline meter is saying fair. Similarly, close to about 30 character-long passwords would finally get a score of excellent from these text-only half-score and bold text-only half-score meters. Right. And so four of the conditions I've already shown to you, we gave a special name for, and we called these our stringent meters. That is, those with more stringent scoring who always received a lower score than in the baseline meter. And so from the scoring grouping, it was half score and one-third score. So these were the two that had visual bars. And then this final group of conditions I just showed you are text-only half-score and bold text-only half-score condition. So throughout our results, I'll refer collectively to these four meters as our stringent meters. And so before I jump into our results, I'll tell you a little bit about our participants. We had 2,931 of them recruited on Amazon's Mechanical Turk crowdsourcing service. Our participants were biased male, 63% male, and also biased technical. So 40% of our participants said they had a degree or a job in IT, computer science, or a related field. Our participants ranged from 18 to 74 years old and hailed from 96 different countries, with 42% of our participants from India and 32% from the US. So for our results section, I'll go through five main metrics, and I'll just give you some highlights for each of these metrics. There's, of course, a lot more in the paper. First, to talk about the composition of passwords participants created, then about the guessability of these passwords, then the password creation process, memorability of the passwords, and finally, participant sentiment. And as I go through, I'll tell you a little bit more about why we chose these metrics. So for the first metric, results, I want to today just highlight password length. So here is the box plot. On the y-axis, we have password length. And on the x-axis are different conditions. And we've color-coded the different groups I just presented to you. Our controls, our ones with visual differences, ones with scoring differences, and then ones with both visual and scoring differences. And so the leftmost box over there, that's our no-meter condition. So no feedback. And our other 14 conditions are those that had meters. And what you'll notice is that conditions with meters generally had longer passwords. In fact, in 13 of these 14 conditions with meters, the passwords created were statistically significantly longer than those created without a meter. In particular, you might see some of the green boxes jumping off a little bit, and those are our half score and one-third score conditions, the two stringent meters with visual bars. Really? And so what we saw from this is, well, with a meter, participants created longer passwords. So of course, we're a security community. People are creating slightly different passwords here, but a question that's of importance to us is, are they creating more secure passwords? So our next metric was guessability of passwords. That is, how many guesses would it take to crack the password they created? And our threat model was an offline attack. So as has happened all too often in recent years, databases compromised, even if passwords are correctly salted and hashed, someone wants to try and guess them. And so the brute force way of going about this would be to maybe start with guessing 8 A's in a row, followed by 7 A's and then a B. Perhaps a smarter way to do this would be to guess passwords in order of their likelihood. So maybe the first guess might be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The next guess might be password. And it's this latter approach, the smarter approach, that we use to evaluate the strength of, or the guessability of passwords. In particular, we use a cracking algorithm proposed at Oakland 3 years ago as implemented in a guess number calculator, essentially a giant lookup table that was presented at this year's Oakland. And for analysis, we look at what we term three different adversaries. We have what we call our weak adversary, who makes 500 million guesses of passwords, our medium adversary, who makes 50 billion guesses, and what we term our strong adversary, who makes 5 trillion guesses. And to give you some sense of how this number of guesses translates to actual resources, and these will be really rough numbers, let's say if we had about 100 CPU cores running at pretty much full utilization for about 2 weeks, we could make about 5 trillion guesses. And that's, of course, very hardware implementation and hashing algorithm dependent. So our guessability I'll present with the following graph. Each condition will be a line on the graph. So on the x-axis, we have the number of guesses on a logarithmic scale. And on the y-axis, we have the percentage of passwords cracked by that guess number in each condition. So right now, I just have no meter up. And so for instance, here, our medium adversary would have guessed 35%, roughly, of the passwords in the created without a meter. And as I introduce the rest of the conditions, you'll just, of course, know that lower on the graph is better. That means lower is more resistant to cracking. So first, let me just bring in the other control condition. Here's our baseline meter. That's the red line. And you'll see it's a bit lower. It's a bit seemingly more resistant to cracking. However, this difference is not statistically significant. So now let me bring in all the meters that differed visually from the baseline. And I'll flash this back and forth a few times. And so what you see is, well, it's not much different than our control conditions. In particular, none of these conditions was statistically significantly different than either our controls at all three adversaries. Okay. So, well, what we see is the visual changes don't significantly increase resistance to guessing. Okay, so let me take these away, and now I'll bring in the rest of our conditions, both those differing in scoring and those differing both visually and in scoring. Right, and again, I'll flash it a few times compared to our controls. And what we see here is it's a little bit lower on the graph, and that's better. It's more resistant to cracking. And in particular, we have these two conditions, half score and one-third score. So those are the stringent meters with visual bars. And those, in those conditions, passwords participants created were statistically significantly more resistant to a guessing attack than those created without a meter. And it was actually also lower than baseline, but that difference was not statistically significant. And so what we're seeing here is that the stringent meters with visual bars are increasing resistance to guessing. All right, so let's move on to the password creation process. In particular, I'll highlight the time it took participants to create the password, and also how participants changed their mind during creation. Of course, we captured all their keystrokes to do this analysis. And so here's a box plot of the time of creation. The y-axis is the time of creation in seconds for the password, and on the x-axis you see the conditions, again color-coded for the groups. And what we see here is we see a couple conditions that are really sticking out. In particular, compared to our control conditions, we see three of our four different stringent meters are much higher. That is, participants in those conditions spent more time creating a password. So of course, our next question might be, well, what are they doing in this extra time? Are they just sitting there wondering why the meter is telling them their password's not very good, or are they doing something else? And so we looked at how participants changed their mind during the creation process. And the way we defined a participant to have changed his or her mind was the following. First, they had to type a password of 8 or more characters. That is, they created a password that met the minimum requirements, the stated requirements, to proceed. And then they deleted it. They completely erased it and went back to step one. And then they typed in a password and eventually saved something that was different than what they had originally typed. And so participants who did this, we said they changed their mind. And so here's a graph of how the percentage of participants in each condition who changed their mind. And so what you see here is, if we look at our two control conditions, between 10 and 20% of participants in those conditions changed their mind during the password creation process. However, participants in all four stringent conditions, as well as with who saw the dancing bunny, or the condition in which we pushed them only towards longer passwords, changed their mind at a higher rate. So for instance, in three out of the four stringent conditions, half score, one-third score, and our bold text-only half score condition, over half of participants changed their mind, by our definition, during the password creation process. So what we're seeing here is that meters lead people to change their mind and really do something substantially different during the creation process. And so I've presented a bunch of results about what the passwords look like, and we found that, okay, with the stringent meters with visual bars, participants created passwords that were harder to guess. Of course, if those passwords are also harder for participants to remember, what have we actually achieved? So we looked at a number of memorability metrics. For instance, are participants able to successfully log in with a password about 5 minutes after they created it, and also 2 or more days later when they return for the second part of the study? Do participants return for the second part of the study? We hypothesized that a participant created a ridiculous password that they had no chance of remembering, maybe they wouldn't even bother coming back for part two. And also, we looked at the proportion of participants who answered in our survey that they, yes, wrote their password down or stored electronically, or whom we observed pasting in their password. And so what we found here is, well, not much. We found no significant differences across conditions for any of these memorability metrics. And so this was both surprising and also good. So we expected, well, participants are making longer passwords, participants with the stringent meters with visual bars are making harder to guess passwords. Surely they must not be able to remember these, but that's not what we found. We didn't find significant differences across conditions, which is a good thing. So finally, I want to talk about participant sentiment. In addition to an open-ended response, participants rated their level of agreement with 14 different statements about both password creation, such as, well, is it fun, difficult, annoying for to create a password in this scenario, and also about the password meter, such as, well, yes or no, I agree, disagree, that the meter gives me an incorrect score, or that it's important to me that I get a high, my password get a high score from the meter. And responses were given on a 5-point Likert scale, from strongly disagree to strongly agree. Where we found the biggest differences in our sentiment results are with the stringent meters. We found that participants found stringent meters a bit more annoying than the non-stringent meters, and I'll go into more detail in a moment with this result. And we also found that participants believe the stringent meters to have violated their expectations. They basically didn't think the meters were correct and found it actually less important that the meter give them a high score. And so just to give you a little bit more of a concrete sense of this, let's look at participant responses to password strength meter was annoying. And so each condition will be represented by a horizontal bar. So on the left-hand side in the red, you see the participants who agreed with the statement, yes, the meter was annoying, which in this case was about 13%. I mean, on the right-hand side in the two shades of blue, see those who disagreed or strongly disagreed, which in this case was the majority of participants. In the middle, in gray, you see those who were neutral. And again, I'll bring our conditions in our different groupings. So if you look at the visual groupings, well, you really see not much difference from the baseline meter. None of these conditions was significantly different than the baseline. Where we do see differences is with the stringent meters. So for instance, while 13% of participants who saw the baseline meter agreed, yes, the meter's annoying, between 27 and 40% of participants who saw the stringent meters agreed, yes, the meter's annoying. So this tells us, well, first of all, yes, well, people seem to be paying attention to the meters. And while you might say, of course, it's not necessarily a great thing for them to be a little bit more annoyed, it was still a minority of people, and, well, by our other metrics, they still seem to remember their passwords. And so I'd like to conclude with some of our main takeaways. So we came into this study with kind of the overriding question of, well, do meters do anything? And what we did find is, yes, meters do matter. We found meters lead to longer passwords, in the case of our stringent meters, even longer passwords. Of course, well, passwords are different. Are they actually more secure? And in particular, our stringent meters led to participants to create passwords that were harder to guess. However, we didn't observe differences, significant differences in memorability. So participants are creating more secure passwords, but they still seem to be able to remember them. And so you might be saying, okay, well, now it's the state of the world, we should just make all of our meters super stringent, and like no one will have a good password. And so what we found, though, is that overly stringent meters don't seem to add benefits. So if we take our 1/3 score meter, which was our most stringent meter, and compare to, say, our half score meter, we didn't find any extra security benefits, but we did find participants to be more annoyed and actually to trust the meter less, to say it's, well, it's not as important that it give me a high score. So that may even backfire. Right? And so what makes meters matter? The two important features that we found were, first, the stringency of scoring. It was our stringent meters that performed best. And this is particularly interesting since the stringent meters aren't what we observed in the wild. It was our baseline meter that most closely represented what was in the wild. And so, well, okay, that to really get these extra benefits, we could push have more stringent meters. Second, having a visual component seemed to be important. Our text-only conditions, both with normal and half scoring, didn't perform as well. However, what we found to be our less important features were the visual ones. The color, the segmentation of the meter, the size of the meter, and this was surprising. We had this gigantic meter, and that didn't seem to be any better than having the really tiny meter. And also, didn't seem to be really important whether we had a bar or if we had a meter with lots of bunniness. Right. So thank you very much, and I'd be happy to take questions.
Shane Clark, UMass Amherst. I really like the study, and I applaud your large sample size. I'm wondering if you had any way of measuring user tendency to abandon trying to create a password. So the thing that occurred to me with stringency is if they find it more annoying, are they more likely to just give up? Did you have any way to measure that?
Right. So I think the we talked about this a bit in the paper about the idea of giving up, exactly. And so I guess the first comment I would make is that as compared to something, say, password policies, meters are actually just a suggestion. It's not a requirement. Like, the meter could have said your password is awful, and you could still proceed, which is the case with meters. However, we did look at basically participant tendencies to try and fill the meter or reach milestones or give up. And so actually, I think just really quick way to look at this is if you look at the password length, you could assume, okay, well, baseline meter is some length. Half score meter, people should make longer passwords. 1/3 score meter, they should make even longer passwords. But that's actually not what we found. With condition number 10, the leftmost green one, was our half score meter, and condition 11 was the 1/3 score meter. And so it's actually half score where we seem to actually have the longest passwords. And this was really mirrored in our sentiment results. In the 1/3, with the 1/3 score meter, we found participants less likely to say, it's important that I get a high score. So exactly, you push them a lot and they indeed give up. Thanks.
James Heather, University of Surrey. It seems odd that your guessability metrics took into account dictionary attacks implicitly in the way that you were doing them, but none of your meters complained about dictionary words in the passwords.
Right. Okay. So we did have in the meters notice that if it was in the open wall mangled word list, the cracking dictionary, which is right there. So we did tell them, your password is in our dictionary of common passwords. And did tell them about this. In some sense, what feedback do you give to people? Then how do you evaluate the security of passwords? The algorithm from Weir et al. That we used uses a training set. From that training set, computes the order of likelihood of guesses. There are many, many ways to evaluate it, and this is actually our choice of our guessability metric was motivated by some of our past work, our group's paper at Oakland this year, in which we compared a bunch of different guessability metrics and found Weir to perform the best. Yep, but thanks.
Serge Eggleman, UC Berkeley. Great work. My only question is, between the enforced 8-character minimum and the fact that participants likely knew that passwords were the subject of the study, if you could comment at all on ecological validity?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so thank you for bringing up ecological validity, which in any user study is always very important. I think that there's arguments from both sides for ecological validity here. So you can say, okay, participants knew they were taking part in a study about passwords. Perhaps they paid a lot more attention to this. In that case, this would absolutely be kind of an upper bound on the participant attention. On the other hand, if we take a step back and say, well, all they have to do is create an 8-character password and move on, and then they still get paid, whether they create an 8-character password, 40-character password, and they're not actually protecting any high-value account. So in that sense, it was kind of surprising to us. Like, why would anyone actually pay attention to the meter? And actually, just to take your point on ecological validity, which is, of course, very important, and expand a little bit further, I think it's kind of the ideal circumstance for the study would have been if, you know, I were able to control a major website's account creation page and run an experimental study. Like, that would have been really cool. But coming into this, you know, we as a community didn't really have that much sense of what, if anything, these meters do. And so, you know, what we have is kind of progress, and I think there's actually a lot of room for further studies, even focusing more on ecological validity in this space, to really add to this work. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, we are out of time, but thank you all very much for lining up, and I'm sure the speaker would be happy to talk to you later.
Definitely.
Thank you very much.